Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to be sharing with you on a day like this where I don't know about you, but I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful that last worship kind of messed me up. Mark and I was talking as we went, and I know you came, world, your only son, for us to know your name, right? Yes. To live within the Savior's love. And you took my place, knowing you'd be crucified. And you love a people undeserving. Do you feel that? I mean, like, I was like, I know you gave the world your only son for us to know your name and to live within the Father's love. And you took my place knowing you'd be crucified. And you love a people. Is there anybody that deserved it? But his love and his mercy and his grace. Somebody, I'm just saying. We're so undeserving. And so when we're talking about this season of power, we're so undeserving, you know, but he still extends his love. He still extends his mercy and his grace. I don't know about you, but I need that. I need that. So in this season of Jubilee, this season of Holy Ghost, that we're celebrating. Let's turn to the book of Joel, or in Hebrew, Yoel. The way Yahweh operates, he says something. He speaks something. He promises something. And everything that he said that he would do, everything that he said that he would manifest or provide, he does exactly. Come on. He does that. But it starts with the word. It starts, and then he was showing us all. Oh, I love the Old Testament. I love the fact that in the Old Testament, he's telling us what is going to happen and what he's going to do. And then we see in the New Testament that everything that he said, all the types and the shadows, everything comes together. And so you got to understand that when he says something, it's true. When he says something, it is. It's true because his name is true. When we were looking at truth, we were looking at Bible study. And Emet is true. And the way you spell Emet is Aleph and the Mem and the Tav. And the Aleph is the first. And the Tav is the last. So Emet truth means the first and the last. And the letter, the Hebrew letter Mem, is in between. It's right in the middle. And so he's saying, I'm the first, I'm the last, and I'm everything in the middle. I am truth. That's what truth is. I'm everything. And when you see that and hear that, it's not by any accident. No. He said what he said. He is who he is. And so when we look at the Old Testament and the prophet Joel is talking about this, he's talking about a promise. Say promise.
Promise.
Promise. When he promises something. I've been in y'all's promises. When you promise stuff. I can't tell you, and you probably can't tell me, how many broken promises you've experienced. But when we talk about Yahweh and his promises, every single time he delivers on his promise. And so let's go here to the second chapter of Joel. Hallelujah. The second chapter, the 24th verse. And it says, if you got it, say I got it. Joel 2:24 or Joel 2:24. And this is what he was promising to his children in the Old Testament, the children of Israel. You are his child. Anybody here his child? Okay, this is for you too. So check this out. Listen to what he was saying to them and us. 24th verse. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Come on, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Okay, so basically what he's saying here, the enemy took some stuff from you, but I'm here to tell you that everything that he took away from you, I'm going to restore it back to you. What he's speaking in that Old Testament to those children and what he is speaking to you now is the same thing. The enemy is trying to, he's already stole some stuff from you. He's already taken some things that the cankerworm has devoured. But he's saying, don't worry about that. Tell your neighbor, don't worry about that. Because we've all lost some stuff that the enemy has, what? Taken, because the word of Yahweh says the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you, what? Might have life, and you might have it, what? More abundantly. That's a promise. That's a promise. You got to choose life. And so he's saying to his children, listen, I know you've been through some stuff. I know you've been through some storms. I know you've been through some trials and some tribulations, but I'm here to tell you what the end outcome is going to be. And the end is going to be that your floors are going to be full of wheat. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you not just the stuff, is there anybody in here that knows what I'm talking about? That he's able to restore the years. Right? And then the 26th verse says, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Because sometimes we've eaten in times past and we haven't been satisfied. But he said, I'm going to provide. You're going to eat and you're going to be satisfied. And in that, you're going to praise the name of Yahweh, your Elohim. That hath what? Dealt wondrous. Has anybody been dealt wondrously from Yahweh? He's moved some mountains in your life. He's done some stuff. He's answered some prayers. He's made some impossible situations possible. He said, and you're gonna praise the name of Yahweh, your Elohim. That's what you're gonna do. I'm going to show you some stuff, and you're going to praise me. Now, see, you should be praising me anyway, but I'm going to show you. Because what I have dealt, he's saying he has dealt wonderfully with us. And he says, and my people shall never be ashamed. All right. And then he says in the 27th verse, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yahweh, your Elohim, and none else. He's your God. And none else. And you're going to know that. And he says, And again he says, hold up. Go back to 26. The last part says, and my people shall never be ashamed. You ain't got no reason. If anybody should be ashamed, it should be those folks that doesn't acknowledge who God is, who Yahweh is, where the salvation lies. So you ain't got no business being ashamed. But you tell your neighbor what you're saying. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Ain't no shame in this game. Because everything that we experience is by us declaring and decreeing who he is. The world tries to give us a report and we say, uh-uh. We say, we don't receive that in the mighty name of Yeshua. So you ain't got no business being ashamed. 27th verse goes and tells us what? And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Yahweh your Elohim and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Once again, he's reiterating. You're never going to be ashamed. And the 28th verse says, and it shall. This sounds like a prophecy. This sounds like a promise. And it shall come to pass. Not that it might come to pass, but it what? It shall. But see, this is what I'm trying to tell you. The word of Yahweh, whatever he says is going to happen. It's going to happen. Whatever he says he's able to do, he's able to do it. Check this out. Whoever he says you are, that's who you are. You might not speak it and admit it, but he's made you who you are. And if he says you're the head and not the tail, when he says you're above and not beneath, when he says you can do all things through Yeshua that strengthens you. See, that's the problem with believers. We got too many believers that don't believe. And we're tired of that. I'm tired of that. Because what you're sitting up here for, you might as well be a Sunday brunch. If you're not going to believe the word, if you're not going to speak the word, if you're not going to encourage each other with the word, if you're not going to look at the circumstances, just look at the circumstances and accept the circumstances, the Bible says we as believers, we walk by faith. And not by sight. We're not looking at what is seen, but we're looking to the what? Unseen. So you got to have the spirit. You got to have the power. And so what he's saying is like, I know y'all are going through some stuff. But I'm going to provide you with some power to be able to stand, some power to be able to fight, some power to be able to exercise your authority. Tell your neighbor, it's for us. So here we go. When he says, and it shall come to pass, it means it's a promise. Tell yourself it's a promise. And so he says what? And it shall come to pass afterward. I will pour out my spirit. Not your spirit. See, you already got that. You already got what your abilities, what you can do. He's saying, that's not good enough. That's not enough. You're going to need something more. Somebody say more. Say, we need more. And so he's saying, I'm going to provide you that. I am going to pour out my spirit. What is his spirit? His ruha. HaKodesh. Somebody say Ruha. HaKodesh. What is that? Did that even sound powerful? That's Hebrew for Holy Spirit. He's going to pour out his what? Ruha. HaKodesh. And he's going to pour it out on what? All flesh. Tell your neighbor he's going to pour it out on us. And this is going to be the evidence. Your sons, your daughters are going to prophesy. Your old men are going to what? Dream dreams. And your young men to what? See visions. We're talking about that. And so go here. Go to Zechariah. When he promises something, it's going to happen. And so when we go to Zechariah, again, we had a situation where the power of Yahweh was needed. It was needed to be manifest. They were building the temple. And it didn't look like the people were going in and being cooperative. And so those that are in charge of doing this tasks, they're thinking like, what are we going to do? How many times have you come up against a situation and said, what am I going to do? Somebody just said it this morning. Somebody said it this week. You came up against a situation, and instead of being instant in prayer, you said, what am I going to do? How many have done that? Stop to tell the truth. You've done it all. We've all done it. What am I going to do? And then you start trying to figure out what you're going to do. And you start writing stuff down on paper. Well, this is how I'm going to do it. Ain't even considered praying about it yet. This is what I'm going to do. And then you start thinking about it all day long. Then when you get ready to go to bed, you start tossing and turning because you still thinking about what you're going to do. How am I going to do this? He's saying, stop. It's not about what you gonna do or what you can do. And so here in Zechariah, the fourth chapter, the sixth verse, Yahweh said, and he showed him a vision, and then this is basically the crux of it. He said, this is the word of Yahweh unto Zerubbabel. He was speaking to Zerubbabel, but you can stick your name in there. Because Zerubbabel was in a situation, he thinking, trying to how he gonna work it out. You have been in situations, and you're thinking about how you gonna work it out. And Yahweh saying, this is the word that I'm saying to Zerubbabel. And the interesting thing about Zerubbabel, the name Zerubbabel, is that in Hebrew, Zerubbabel means to wax warm or to flow away. You know how something gets hot and it flows away? And then Babel means confusion. So his name means coming out of confusion. Flowing away from what? Confusion. Anybody been trying to worry about what you gonna do? And it can be what? Confusing. When you try to stand in your own power, it's confusing because you don't know what to do and where to go. And this is what Yahweh said. This is the word of Yahweh unto Zerubbabel saying, it's not by might. Might in the Hebrew is hael. Say hael. And what does might mean? It means a force of men or other human resources, an activity of strength of men. So he's saying it's not by hael. It's not by the force that you can do. Right? Because we can do certain things, but when you're talking about the things that I can do, it can't compare. So he's saying it's not going to be by hael. That's human force. And then he goes back and says, nor by power. Well, we know that there's different kinds of power. And the power that's here is not going to be by power. But the word that's used in the translation is koah. Say koah. And that is the vigorous ability of a human being. So that means that it's not by what you can do humanly. So he's saying it's not going to happen by hael, it's not going to happen by koah. But in the translation, he says, but by my spirit. And what is the Hebrew word for his spirit? It's going to be by my moving force, my wind. It's going to be by my divine power and ability. It's going to be by my miraculous and wondrous characteristics. It's not going to be done by any other way but by the power that I have made available to you. My Ruha HaKodesh that I'm putting what? In you. We try to do stuff by power. Our own power. We try to do stuff by might. Our own might. It's like it's not going to happen that way. And so go here to Titus. Tell him he promised power. Tell yourself he promised power. He promised power. And so the thing about it is that we got to start operating what? In his power. Every day is an opportunity for you to operate in what? I only need to operate in his power when something go wrong. I only need to operate in his power when I'm confused about something. I only need to operate in his power when things get a little hard. Nah, you know what I learned? Even in the easy stuff, you need to operate in his power. Every day we need to what? Operate in his power. Because he promised his power. So go to Titus, the first chapter, the first verse. And it says, what? Paul, Shaul, a servant of Yahweh, an apostle of Yeshua Mashiach, according to the faith of Yahweh's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Second verse, in hope of eternal life, which Yahweh, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. See, prophecy builds hope. When he said, check this out, when he says he's going to do something, there's a hopeful expectation. Come on now, come on. Right? Because now we're like, hey, well, if he said he's going to do it, hope is I'm looking forward to whatever he's going to do. And so when he says he's going to provide power, hey, guess what? Everything's going to be all right because I know that he's going to provide what he said he's going to do. And when Yahweh says he's going to do something, and we got the second verse, in hope, underline hope, of eternal life, which Yahweh, say they cannot lie. What does that mean, saints? If he said he's providing power, he can't lie. He's gonna do it before the world began, right? And so in the third verse says, but hath in due times manifested his word. How did he do it? Through preaching, teaching, prophecy, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of Yahweh, our Savior. The Hebrew word for promise is Omer. Say Omer. Omer. That is Yahweh's spoken word. Promise. Promise means Omer. So when we talk about this season that we are in, Seraphat, say Seraphat. Ha Omer. That means that we were counting the days to Pentecost. So guess what that means? It means you're counting the days to the promise. Come on, you're counting down the days to the promise. What he said he was gonna do, you're counting him what? Down. Because we're counting the days to what he promised. So when we go to Acts, somebody go to Acts, the first chapter. The first chapter of Acts. Yeshua has been crucified. And then he's been resurrected in power. Then he appears unto his disciples for 40 days. Come on.
preparing them. And you go to the first verse that says, second verse, go to the second verse. Until the day in which he was taken up. Huh. After that, he, who are we talking about? Yeshua. So after Yeshua was resurrected, keep on saying, he promised power. He promised power. So after the day he was resurrected, so guess what? He's promising power. Yahweh said he was going to pour out his spirit, and guess what? He gets crucified. But you said you were going to be with him, but he's crucified. So what were the disciples thinking? Oh my God. What we going to do now? But then they were looking for him, and he had rose on the third day. But then the disciples were still tripping, like, well, what we going to do? So guess what Yeshua did? He came down and was walking with them for 40 days, encouraging them. Who needs encouragement? I need encouragement. 24/7. I'm glad you said that. I need to be encouraged, because things were looking kind of crazy and dim and bleak. But he said, hey, I'm going to walk with you for 40 days. I done died, resurrected, crucified, resurrected, and now I'm going to walk with you for a while. And so here we are. He's manifested himself to his boys, right? And so it says, until the day which he was taken up, after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, it takes power to resurrect and walk around for 40 days. Come on! It takes power to go through all of the stuff, all the way up to being crucified, being beaten and talked about and thrown up on a cross and pierced in the side. And then he rose. And then after resurrection, Mary Martha was coming in. He's like, he not here. The angel told me, he not here. I don't know what you think was going to happen, but he ain't here. He has what? Risen. Tell somebody it took power to rise. Took power to rise. So now he is going around sharing with his disciples. And it said he did it until the day that he was taken up. After that, he, Yeshua, through the Holy Ghost, operating in that Ruha HaKodesh. He's operating in it, right? Had given commandments unto the apostles, which he had chosen. In the third verse, to whom also he showed himself alive. How did he show himself alive? He was operating in the Ruha HaKodesh. He was operating in the power. How could he do it? He was operating in the power. It takes the Ruha to do what he, to show yourself. And he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Being seen of them. How can you walk around after you died and rose again for 40 days? You do it through the Ruha HaKodesh. He was operating in that Ruha, and he said, speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of Yahweh. And the fourth verse says, and being assembled together with them, he's still speaking through the power of the Ruha HaKodesh. Don't go nowhere. He commanded them. See, I need to be plain with this. I could say, should not depart from Jerusalem. But I think it had more power than that. He said, don't go nowhere. But he said, wait for the promise. Connect the dots here. He promised way back. Way back in Joel, He said he was going to pour his spirit out. He said, now, if you're going to be somewhere, you better wait here, because what I promised you is about to manifest itself. And he said, wait for the promise. Somebody say, wait for the Omer. Because what we counting down the days. After Passover, we what? Count 50 days. Wait for the Omer, or the promise of the Father, which saith ye have what? Heard of me. And the fifth verse, this gets me every time. He said, for John, or Johanan, he baptized you with water. He truly did that. But he says, but you're going to be baptized with something else. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the Ruha HaKodesh. Not many days hence. Now, do you believe everybody stayed like he said they were, he told them to? Tell your neighbor, somebody missed out. Somebody got in their head. Well, how long is it going to take? I mean, if he could do it in Jerusalem, he can do it wherever I am. See, and that's how people talk today. They're like, well, I don't have to go to church. The church is wherever I am. See, the same stuff that they're speaking back then, I can be wherever I want to be. Basically, they saying God got to follow me. See, isn't it crazy how things have, the devil has tricked, deceived people into thinking, you got to follow Yahweh. Yahweh ain't got to follow you. What a church, you know, the word to change for the time. Hold up. Wait a minute. The word says, Yahweh the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't need to change. You need to get with his program. Because he created this program. So the church is supposed to conform. The word is supposed to conform because you want to do something. No, you got to conform to the word. And so he told him, listen, don't go nowhere. You listen, he was like, I'm going to be gone. And you're going to need some power. You're going to need something to operate in. Just like even today, you got people saying, well, I don't need the Holy Ghost. What? What you mean you don't? Well, my pastor said that I don't need that. That was for that day. What you mean it's for that day? Yeshua said that he was sending that, and we were going to have to operate in that until he came back. Last I checked, he ain't came back yet, so we still in that day. So that means people still need the power of the Ruha HaKodesh operating right now. Tell your neighbor, you need it. You need it. You need it. You gotta have it. And for y'all that got it, you need to operate in it. You need to be moving in the power. You need to be speaking in the power. Because you folks that got it but won't operate in it, you just as bad as somebody that ain't never got it. You want me to say it again? You folks that got it and ain't operating in it is just as bad as somebody who ain't never got it. It's the truth. You gotta, some of y'all need to be ashamed of yourself. You got all this power operating in you, and you act like you ain't got no hope. You act like you ain't got no power. You act like you ain't got no authority. What is wrong with you? You got the power that created heaven and earth working inside of you. There should be nothing that you can't do. There should be nothing that you can't have access to. You got access to healing. Come on. You got access to deliverance. You got access, hallelujah, to calling things that are not as though they were. You got the power to what? Tread over serpents and scorpions. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So tell your neighbor, so what you got to worry about then? That's what he's telling these people. Listen, you need this. I'm going. And guess what? The whole reason why I'm able to move around and talk to y'all for 40 days is that I'm operating in the same power that I'm going to pour out on you. I'm showing you how it's done. I'm showing you how to walk in it. And isn't that something that for 40 days he's walking in the Holy Ghost? And he's saying, listen, if you got any doubt about how to do it, let me show you after my resurrection. I'm walking around with you for 40 days in the power of the Holy Ghost. Man, somebody should have caught it then. He's operating right there, right? So he said, I'm going to do this. He said, I'm going to do this. It's the promise. Don't go anywhere until you what? So go to the 8th verse. Skip down to the 8th verse. But you? Somebody say it's a promise coming. It's a promise coming. He said, you shall. Not you might. Not maybe. No. If you don't go nowhere and you hear where I'm about to send this, you're going to receive the power. After that, the Ruha HaKodesh is come upon you. Oh, and he said, and after you do that, you're going to be witnesses. You know what this means? It means that after this happens, you got to tell people. It's not like I got to make you tell somebody. You're going to tell somebody because you can't help yourself. Listen, let me tell you, I was in Jerusalem and something happened. Something happened. Tell your neighbor, run, tell that. You go tell that. You telling all other kinds of stuff. Go tell that. Tell them about the day that you was at 3CLA and the Holy Ghost fell upon you. Some of y'all got hands laid on you when you was in the counseling room before you even got baptized and got the Holy Ghost. That was you, huh? And then when you finally went down in the water, you came up speaking in tongues in the power of the Holy Ghost. See, some of y'all act like you forgot. You forgot. There you go. He called 911. And you're going to be witnesses because you got to tell somebody. In all of Judea and in Samaria, hey, you're going to go to Compton and Inglewood and Long Beach, LA, the Valley. You got to run, tell somebody. And now, hey, y'all, you can do it right from your cell phone. Somebody call somebody and tell them. Call somebody and tell them what he did. And unto the uttermost parts, come on, of the earth. And so there were people that obeyed. And see, this is what I'm talking about. There was a promise that he promised. That means that if he said, don't go nowhere, don't go nowhere. Because he said, you're not, it was more than just a space. A place and time. He was like, you're not going to be able to do nothing. Come on, man. You're not going to be able to do the stuff that I want you to do. You're not going to be able to say the stuff that I need you to say. You're not going to be able to move how I want you to move unless you get this thing that I'm about to send down to you. So don't go nowhere means, hey, hold on. You're not even going to be. See, I need you to operate in power. He's saying, I need you to operate on a whole level that you ain't never operated on, and you need my Ruha HaKodesh to be able to do that. So second verse, second chapter, go to the second chapter. Go to the second chapter of that. So now the church, he's saying, the first chapter, I'm about to get out. I need you to do something. I need you to wait. And so we go to the second chapter, second verse. Acts 2:2. Really, Acts 2:1. Go to 1. I gotta bring out the 1. The first verse says, and when the day of Pentecost was what? I need y'all to get this. It wasn't just like, bam, it happened. Stuff was happening all the way up to that day. There was an expectation, right? Because then he told them to wait, so they was what? They were waiting, and they were anticipating. See, every day was like, is this going to be the day? So they would get together and some start moving, right? And they was like, wait, something's going on, wait. You know, so this is different, right? Can you imagine 50 days of just anticipation? It was what? It's building up. So that's why it says when the day of Pentecost was, because it already had built up. Can you imagine? We there having prayer service and woos. We laying hands on somebody for healing and woo, they get healed. And I believe that there were still things, miracles and things still taking place. They were singing and like they had never sang before. They were speaking and encouraging each other like they had never what? Done before, because Pentecost was building up. Tell your neighbor, it's building. It's building. We anticipating this. Because when he tells you, he said, wait, he was like, this had already been talking about way back with the prophet Joel. And he said this time was gonna come where he was gonna pour out his spirit. So when he says, wait for the Omer, it should have been like, everybody was like, okay, don't you go nowhere. If somebody starts trying to pack, wait, no, don't, what? Don't do it. But somebody, well, I'm just going to go over here. See, somebody was like, I'm just going to go over here for a couple of days. Uh-huh. So you don't want to miss this. And so it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this is the other key to it. They were all in one accord. It was a group of people that were expecting the same thing. It was a group of people that were anticipating what? The same thing, right? It was a group of people that were expecting what? The same thing. And it was like, don't be over there. We all need to be together. When this happens, we need to be together. Can you imagine what could happen to the church if the church would just get on one accord? See, what you fail to realize is that you out there on your own trying to figure out stuff, but if you hook up with a winning team, come on, you hook up with a Holy Ghost team, come on, look at this room, filled with Holy Ghost believers. You ain't by yourself, you got all this power. Look at this. You always looking for the hookup. You got the hookup right here. You got, look at all these believers. You already hooked up. You hooked up holy. And what you fail to realize is that stop falling away. Stop disconnecting yourself from your life source, from your power. Stop flailing out there alone. You better, the Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. What? And what's the next part? Especially as you see what? The day's approaching. I don't know about y'all. There's some stuff happening out there in the world. There is some destruction happening out there right now. There is killing and stealing, killing, and destroying going on right out there right now. Even last night in Florida, 50 people at a 300 people in a club, 50 people got killed. A gunman came into the club and just shot up. It just happened. We woke up to this news. The enemy is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. But Yahweh said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it what? Stop disappearing. Stop dropping off the map. You got a room full of believers that are rooting for you, that are praying for you, that are loving on you, that are interceding for you in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. The enemy wants to get you out there so he can discourage you, so he can depress you, so he can destroy you. He'll get you out there thinking you need to take your own life. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. He told you. He said, just end it all. But see, that's what the enemy does. He wants to kill, he wants to steal, and he wants to destroy. I'm telling you, choose life. Choose Yahweh. Choose the Holy Ghost. If you need encouragement, come with some believers. We're encouraging each other here. There should be nobody left behind. Tell your neighbor, I love you. I love you. I love you. You're not alone. I love you. Tell the people in back of you, I love you. I love you. I love you. This is just like that day. We here in one place. We here in one place. We here in one place. And in one accord. We're here in one accord. And then the next verse says, and when those conditions were met, hallelujah, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Come on, come on, come on. See, it was a sound not from the next room, but it was a sound from above. It meant something was getting ready to happen. Can you imagine being in that place? And then, what is that? We're not looking from side to side. We're looking up. And it came as a rushing. Because that's what the Ruhai is. It's the wind, it's the very breath and presence and power of Yahweh. And here it comes, like a train coming down the track. And it filled. Come on, come on. The house where they were sitting. And see, I would like to say they were sitting there, but when it started filling the house, somebody had to get up. I don't know about you, but if I hear a sound, I gotta get up. What is that? So they wasn't sitting no more. And then the third verse says, and then appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire. See, we talked about a few weeks earlier, it was not the fire that was ordained by Yahweh. He said, you got to get the fire that's from my altar. Remember he was telling them that? And then them dudes went out there and then they got strange fire. They went and got fire from somewhere else because there's a lot of fire out there. And so they was like, well, it don't make no difference. And Yahweh said, yes, it does. You can't be operating in no strange fire. I need you to operate in my fire. And so then guess what happens on the day of Pentecost? Here come the clothing tongues, like as a what? Fire! And it sat upon what? Each of them. Everybody in the place. Everybody went ablaze. Everybody ignited. Everybody exploded in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Everybody was operating. It came on each of them, right? And the fourth verse says, and they were what? Tell your neighbor, if you was there, you was filled. If you were there, you was, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were moving in the power of the Ruha HaKodesh. They were operating in the fire. They were operating in the very presence, in the very power and authority of Yahweh. They all went up. They're in one accord. If we can just get on one accord, expecting Yahweh to move, expecting Him to manifest, expecting Him to deliver, expecting Him to heal and save. Can you imagine what could happen in this place? Let's just imagine. Here we are on the day of Jubilee, and we are all together. See, now we got the last part right. We're in one place, but are we on one accord? I'm calling. He's calling. We got to get on one accord, saints. We got to get on one accord. We all got to expect to operate in the power. And if we would all just get on one accord, it would start igniting all over the room. If we just get, sometimes people just like, oh, just, well, I want to wait and see what happened. No. If Yahweh has manifest and moved in your life just one iota, and an iota is just a small way. But see, Yahweh's small iota is huge to you. The doctor said that you were supposed to not even be here, but somebody's here. You weren't supposed to be able to walk, but you're walking. You weren't supposed to be able to talk, but you're talking. You were supposed to be dead because you looked down the barrel of a gun, of a shotgun, and you should be 6 feet under right now. But by the power of the Holy Ghost operating in your life, somebody needs to get on one accord. You were depressed. You was about to take your own life. You were about to get out. The power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. 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 Yahweh, we thank you for your power. Hallelujah. You didn't have to do it, but you did. You saved our loved ones. Hallelujah. We were in darkness, but now we're in the light. Hallelujah. We thank you. Come on, give them the glory right now. Your Ruach HaKodesh is still moving. He's still delivering. He's still saving. Oh, Father Yahweh. Father Yahweh. Oh, we thank you. Thank you for your power, Yahweh. Thank you, Father Yahweh, for your Spirit. You promised it. You promised it. And what you said you were going to do, you've done it. You've done it. You've moved. You've sent us the comforter, the teacher. So right now, Father Yahweh, our desire is to operate in your power. We call on your power right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. We call on your Ruach HaKodesh to continue to move in us. We're not satisfied for it just to move here. We want to be an influence for you outside of these walls. We want to tell people in all parts of the city, in all parts of the state, in all parts of the world about your power, your Ruha HaKodesh. Hallelujah. We want to be ambassadors of you. Wherever we go, we speak our testimony on what you've done, how you've moved in us, how you've saved us, and continue to encourage us and walk with us, just as you did those disciples for those 40 days. You're walking with us. You're speaking to us. So we thank you, Father Yahweh. And right now, even today, as we commemorate what you've done in our lives and in this earthly realm, we don't take it for granted, because we know you did not have to endow us with power. You did not have to do that. We are a people that are so unworthy, but through your love and through your mercy and through your grace, you saved us and gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost. So Yahweh, continue to minister to us the importance of moving and operating in that. And we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Aman and aman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yay. Yeah.